today we have with us the world's number one VAM, Brian Weiss.
Yes, thank you for having me where it's afternoon, I think, where I'm at. I don't know where you're at.
It's morning, and I'm not editing this piece out. So, Brian, how many websites have your data?
Oh, my gosh. Too many.
How many of your tools have your data?
Hopefully just the right amount, but I could probably say too many on that as well.
How many pieces of software have data on you and your company because your client put that data in there?
Data is everywhere, it sounds like, right?
I think it's near impossible to find out everywhere that your data is.
Yeah, that's correct. Now, but there's also classification of data, right?
I mean, if they're getting into the system, they're getting into the system. It doesn't matter what the classification is, unless you go to a higher level facility, maybe something in the government that has that type of data segregated. But for the vast majority of companies and people, all their data minus maybe their payment information is all stored in the same place.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, we've all dealt with PCI compliance, and that was probably kind of one of the forefronts. I feel like PCI does a better job than HIPAA.
That was a joke.
No, that's fair. I mean, no one wants to touch that payment data, right? But then they don't realize, what about all this other data I have that's potentially just as sensitive if it got out?
What do you do when you go into a client and you need to figure out where they have their data so that you can come up with a plan on how to A, handle that data, B, protect that data, and C, back it up?
Well, there's different approaches, right? I like your approach where it's like, hey, I don't care where your stuff is. We're going to rip and replace. You're moving to my systems and we're going to, you know, at that point you can classify data as you're migrating it. You start fresh. The other route, I mean, you're kind of running a bunch of scanning tools on all their devices, trying to figure out where data is being stored. And so I like the idea of starting fresh with some strict policies, maybe even some auto classification of data based on where it's being stored. I think that's really the only way you're going to get around the monster that is, where is my data, right?
Now, as much as I'd like to think I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, today at least, my big issue about that whole rip and replace thing, yeah, it works. But, you know, one thing I don't talk about much is that I need to find the data, right? I need to find out what USB drives they put it on, how many shadow IT tools, Dropbox, Box, OneDrive personal. Mm-hmm. You know, finding this data is near impossible. And my first thought to jump to is, let's just put out DLP. As soon as they open any type of data file on their computer, it gets tagged. But I don't know any DLP systems that actually work.
No, I feel like we've got SharePoint that supports tagging now, right? But there's no automated way for me to say, hey, I want to go from an on-prem AD to SharePoint, and I want you to tag all my data as we move there.
There was the Azure Information Protection Scanning Agent that you can put onto workstations and servers, and you can say, scan the entire thing and tag every supported file type with a generic or a baseline sensitivity label that you could later go on and change. And we used to roll it out, but then Microsoft really made some changes, I want to say April of last year, on Azure Information Protection, and it broke for a while. So I don't even know if it works. But prior to that, that scanning tool did a pretty good job because you would have a workspace or workplace in your Azure AD tenant where you can go and see every file that's been touched by that scanner on every machine. But in Microsoft's infinite wisdom, it is no more.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I know there's some third-party companies out there that you can pay an enormous amount per agent that'll scan all your devices for you and help you identify that and even put a dollar value on it. But what do you do from there? I mean, at that point, I want to then, okay, can we then tag the data and then build some policies around it, right? That's all in the Microsoft tenant.
How XDR is one of the bigger buzzwords in our community these days, I would say. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So why are we in general as IT practitioners, myself being a ditch digger, why are we adding more tools to further silo everything?
Well, there's a couple opinions I have on that. One is, I do feel like when it comes to Microsoft, we're all going to be forced to drink the Microsoft Kool-Aid one day if you're not already. It's either Microsoft or Google, maybe Amazon if they ever get some directory services.
What about Jump Cloud? I hear that's the...
Jump Cloud, third party. I mean, so I'm okay with siloing a lot of things under Microsoft. I feel like there's a lot of advantage to that. But at the same time, there's other things I'm looking at, like my RMM software that does too much. And I'm looking to want to like unbundle what that does. So there's certain vendors that certain tools I use right now, I'm looking to unbundle and potentially take on more vendors to do the same job that one tool did. But then on the other aspect, I'm looking to consolidate as well. What can I do in Microsoft that I don't need a third-party tool for anymore?
Everything and nothing all at the same time.
All right. That sounds fair.
I think a lot of the RMM stuff can be offloaded. Well, let me rephrase this. A lot of the management, the RMM, can be offloaded to Intune and Microsoft 365. I think the monitoring aspect, Intune was not built to handle those 1 minute, 5 minute intervals of checking on something.
Definitely, 100%. Well, you can tell that just by using the Microsoft tenant portal. And when you make a change, how long does it take for it to propagate across all their servers?
Depends how many times you're hitting the placebo sync button. But back to data. I mean, so when you go into a new client, what are you doing in terms of trying to find their data?
I mean, it's typically an interview with the client, right? What lines of business applications do they use? Where do they store their company data? Where do users store their own user data? And along with some looking around, you know, directories, we can pretty much figure that out. But I think where the other issue lies is really, what about cloud apps, right? I mean, how do you know if they're not using some rogue Dropbox account to save stuff in, you know? So you have to kind of take it up some layers too and even look at, well, what cloud apps are they using and where might they be storing data there?
But how do you figure that out? There's one app, there's one channel vendor, and I think they sell direct. They just got acquired by Checkpoint. Avanan, the email protection platform. It's very similar to Bitdam, very similar to IronScales. All of them came out of the 8200. So, you know, they're the greatest cybersecurity email protection known to mankind ever. Wish people could see the sarcasm on my face. But anyway, they do a really interesting job in parsing your emails to see if you're getting emails from Box, from Dropbox, and all these other cloud providers. And they have a dashboard that says, hey, this may be some shadow IT in your organization.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, I love it. On the other hand, why are they parsing all my emails to that level of detail and specificity?
Yeah, and I mean, why can't you figure that out through DNS queries? I mean, that's kind of what we're doing on our end to build out a list of cloud apps that clients are using as we're looking at their DNS activity.
Okay, but in defense of Avanan here, and they're not sponsored, they haven't been on the show, don't use them much, so not endorsement. Use Webroot. Webroot's fantastic. But anyway, in the case of, I haven't used Dropbox in a while, but there are instances where I can go hit a Dropbox website because I got an email from someone to go download something. So I am avoiding the agent aspect of it. How are you going to figure that out for DNS?
You're talking about a potential malicious email, Dropbox email?
No, it can be legitimate. You know, Susie in accounting doesn't like OneDrive. I want to use Dropbox. So yeah, she's sharing files through Dropbox. Now she doesn't have the agent installed because we don't give them administrative access, but she can go onto a browser and upload a folder or what.
Yeah, that's going to be a DNS query. Which agent do you mean? The Dropbox agent?
Well, I'm saying she's not using an agent. She's going straight to the website.
Yeah. So, well, that's where the DNS query would come in, you know? Okay. So we have DNS filter agents on the machines. So we can see at the user level who's accessing what. Obviously, if you're only doing that at the firewall, you're going to miss out on some of that user context. But I like the idea. I mean, I'm not trying to poo-poo on the idea of, hey, how can we get smarter? Can we get more business intelligence from our email security software to help us understand what's going on with our users around shadow IT.
Avanade charges you almost double the price extra to get that feature turned on. And it's part of their DLP package. But since they were acquired by Checkpoint, I don't know what their pricing is.
No.
I do like it because I haven't seen anything else from a shadow IT perspective like that.
Yeah. I mean, there is that concern, like you brought up, though, is in order for them to identify that type of email, then they're having to maybe look at additional data they wouldn't normally be looking at in an email that doesn't really have to do with any type of potential threat, right?
I don't know. I feel like all these API-based email protection systems are ripping through every email you get sent. Otherwise, how are they going to scan for malicious links? How are they going to identify spam, phish, and smish, and all the other buzzwords out there? So on one hand, you're damned if you do, and then the other hand, you're kind of like damned if you don't.
Yeah. Oh, I had another topic I wanted to bring up on the where does my data live, but let's hit yours first.
No, go for it, because I was just going to ask you, what do you do for your existing clients who've been with you for, you know, been in business, what, almost 20 years, give or take?
17.
So yeah. Hopefully you have some clients that came along for the entire ride with you.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Most
of them.
How are you helping them come to terms with how they should be storing their data today or today's threats?
Well, unfortunately, I feel like to do it right, we really need to get more involvement from the end user and more buy-in. Traditionally, how we've done things as MSPs is we've gone up and we've gone in and set up a directory structure and said, here's your accounting files, here's your HR, here's your sales, marketing. Now store things there and only those teams can see it, right? And we weren't really putting onus on the end user to understand the sensitivity of the data they're working with and be aware of where it's being stored and not even really having front of mind that they should have nowadays of potentially classifying that data. So that's really what we're starting to do with our clients is have a discussion around understanding what data is sensitive, what data is not sensitive, who has access to it. We want them to be able to know at any given time who has access to things. We don't want them to just assume we're handling it for them, because I think that's where you get into trouble. Is you have end users that don't completely understand how or why things are being stored. You get new employees involved. They don't get trained right. You start getting wild west on how files are being stored and shared. And then you end up with a rat's nest that you have to go in and clean up, which is what we have a lot of with our clients. File sync and share services we're big on. I love Datto Workplace. SharePoint OneDrive. Probably we see more of our larger enterprise clients making use of that.
I think Datto's workspace or workplace?
Workplace.
Workplace is a far better product than SharePoint for that cloud server mentality.
Yeah.
SharePoint, it's not there yet. Too many limitations, file name, length, file name characters. And I've seen a lot fewer issues with Datto Workplace.
Yeah. So, you know, file sync and share services, you're not sending attachments on emails anymore. You're sending file links, right? Understanding when emails should be encrypted or when it's not, or maybe even looking at setting up some DLP where if it finds information being sent in an email that's sensitive, it automatically encrypts it, right? So there's certain
part of Exchange for quite some time. I mean, we have it, I think to a certain degree. It's a flip of a switch in the 365 tenancy. It's like, hey, if you see PII, financial data, what have you, block the email or encrypt it and then send it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the thing I was going to bring up on where is my data is really from like a security framework standpoint as far as developing out understanding where your gaps are and where can you invest money to get the best return. And it's the idea of not feeling like you need to go in and boil the ocean, right? If you can identify where all the critical data is and focus on securing that first, you're going to get a lot more done quicker for a lot less money than if you try to approach it just trying to secure and lock down.
I don't disagree with you. I just think it's hard to find where employees are putting their data, especially when you're the new IT provider going in, or if you're doing that VAM type of business where, hey, we'll help you, we'll support you when you need it, but the day-to-day is your internal IT. And if internal IT isn't defining the policies that govern where this data goes or where what type of data, it's almost as though you should probably go back to the old server architecture and pay more money to back up useless data or duplicates of data.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. You've got to set up policy. And that's what I was pointing out in the beginning. I feel like the easiest way to get a client's data in shape is to not try to go in and fix what they have in place, but to basically set up a whole new directory for them and start moving things over. And as things get moved over, they follow the policies and the classification tagging that has been set up, right?
So I just thought of something and I missed it, because I guess that's what you were saying. What you were saying in the beginning is, okay, you go in, you rip and replace. I'm assuming you're putting the onus on them to identify the data that you need to transfer over. So the risk is theirs. You're not assuming that risk.
Correct. Yeah. We don't want to move or touch their data at all. We basically tell them where the new place is, because they know their data better than we do, right? And the last thing we want to do is move over a directory of files and folders that they've thought didn't need to get cleaned up. And it turns out it does. And then you just bring all the same problems you had originally over versus forcing them to go through it. Half the time I find clients have half their data they don't even need anymore. And it kind of worries me. Like we did this, we did a G Suite to Microsoft 365, or actually Data Workplace migration. And I see all these files in Google Drive that didn't get moved over. And they said, oh, we don't need those. We don't, that's why I'm like, there's a ton of files. Oh, we don't even need those anymore. I'm
right,
like,
right up until you nuke the Google tenancy.
Yeah.
Fine. Where's that file we told you we needed?
Yeah.
What file?
So that's another reason why we try to be hands off when it comes to data. You know, we can be the data architect and help the client understand where and how it should be stored in policies, but like they're the ones who should be moving the data. You know what I mean?
You mentioned, you brought up a good point, or you spoke about retention policy. Are you utilizing those in Microsoft 365 where after a date certain, that data is automatically deleted, purged, or archived, or what have you?
For our newest clients that we've set up, they're set up that way. Okay. It goes into an online archive. And then we also have, you know, a Datto SaaS protection backup of it.
Okay. What is your data retention timeframe policy look like? I know it's going to vary based on compliance, regulation, what have you, but you know, your run-of-the-mill customer who doesn't have any type of financial or health regulations on them.
We do like a year. I don't know. Not that the client even really needs that, but it's just kind of standard what we do as a minimum.
Not for the backups, but for the actual data, like that Word file that they may not have touched in 2 years, but you know that they use it every 3 years. What's your retention policy for the data, not the backups?
So we aren't doing archiving of documents. I thought you were talking about email.
Okay.
For a minute there. So documents, we're not currently setting that up. And most of our clients are on Datto Workplace, which I don't even know if Datto Workplace supports something like that right now.
Not yet. The only thing that does it to any degree of good that I would say is probably Microsoft 365. We have retention policies for different types of sensitivity labels. We don't do it just based on the data or the source. We do it based on the sensitivity label. And our baseline generic label that's got, I think it's a 3-year retention policy. After that, it gets nuked. Good luck finding it unless you can pull it from a backup, but even the backups are 1 year. And yes, I've been burned on that before.
Well, and it's interesting because it scares me to think about deleting data, you know, But in all reality, if a Word doc hasn't been accessed in 3 years, what's the likelihood it's needed again?
Right? Slim to none until you actually delete it, then everybody.
Yeah.
It's par for the course, right? It's like as soon as you do what the client tells you, you can do.
And it, apparently it was so valuable because no one used it for 3 years that it shouldn't be that hard to just reproduce either, right?
That, or I'm sure somehow you will find copy of copy of copy of copy. So that can kind of pull you out of the doghouse. But, you know, my big thing about, I want to step back a little bit. What gave me the idea for this episode is you. You know, you're always talking about, was it the first pillar of NIST? Identification. And there's been a lot of data breaches recently, some big name companies that got hit. And my concern is we're getting to the point where some of these companies don't even know what the data is. What data was exfiltrated? Worse yet, we as consumers or we as IT providers, we don't know where our data is sitting. And what happens if there's an incident and we think we're backing up everything that's critical, but we're not? And my point for this episode was, how do we mitigate? What's the process? Like, what are we doing in that case?
I mean, how we're in this mess in the first place is behavior, bad human behavior. So if you don't immediately put a stop to that bad behavior, it's going to continue no matter what you move to. So you really need to get into an environment where you can enforce certain things to happen that need to happen, right? And prevent other things from happening that shouldn't be happening. It's hard to do that with a traditional on-prem AD file server. How do you do that?
Just create a new folder. Done.
Yeah. It's Wild West on a network share for a...
The backup providers loved on-prem because they knew there was no such thing as trimming your data. It was just going to keep building and building, and they would just keep selling you more and more space, more and more capacity. But the problem is, once you go to the cloud, I don't want to call it expensive, but there is a real monthly recurring cost on every bit that you put in
there. Well, and it's a different, it goes from a capital expense to operational, right? So you go from buying your resources outright and owning them and being able to use them all you want at no extra cost to now paying by resource, right? And even the amount of time you're using the resource. So you can't use the same lazy model of, I'm going to order this beefy server that I know will be plenty fast to run everything I need to run.
Come on. You know, you need 16 cores and 256 gigs of RAM just for Chrome.
Yeah. And I'm going to get this huge hard drive so I could store backups upon backups of files on the servers that then get replicated into more backups. So when you're in the cloud, like you said, you got to really get efficient with your data usage.
You have to be lean, and that we don't know what the resources that are devoted to those cloud systems are by the vendors. So you don't want to have to go through 10 terabytes of data when you should only be backing up maybe 2. Aside from the cost, I'm talking about the time factor of having to index and search that data. Any new plans for DLP or sensitivity labels that you guys are doing? I know you're big with 365.
I'm fighting to try to get Data Workplace to support labeling of documents and better integration with 365. The majority of our clients are smaller businesses, and we're still working with them on other security improvements, unfortunately. And then our larger, you know, kind of co-managed VAM enterprise clients, they have their own internal team that essentially manages their data for them on SharePoint, and we act as kind of more of a consultant, you know, or access to certain tools they may need. But I feel like with everything going on, I have to do my due diligence to eventually know exactly where all my clients' data is and be confident about that, because I know we have policies enforcing things. I know we've done the end user training. We've got reporting that we can show, you know, here's two things that we got to work with on our clients too. Revisit a desktop application policy and, put together a cloud application policy. Like, let's set some policies up where we know these are the only apps this company needs to run as a business and is allowed to run so that we can just lock down everything else, you know, to prevent from someone from even going to Dropbox.
Do you think Microsoft Cloud App Security would help with that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
How so?
You could
not
build
to put you on the spot, but you know.
You build policies around it. We're looking at handling that at our DNS filter level. Okay. So we can have it be agent-based for even roaming capabilities. And so, you know, the problem with the app is App Locker. Is that what it's called?
No, App Locker.
No, that's the desktop one.
That's the
desktop.
Like a threat locker.
Yeah, like auto elevate.
Yeah.
Cloud app control.
Cloud app security.
Cloud app security. Thank you. They like to change their names a lot anyway.
Okay.
So the cloud app security, you know, essentially allows you to build policies around what cloud apps can be accessed, how, when, and where, right? And especially if you can integrate SSO, it works great for having that single point of entry. I don't know that it's going to be as efficient to use as, say, like DNS filter, where I can set up policies and roll them out across all our clients. You know,
is DNS filter proxying the data through its own local agent, basically? So it's able
Correct.
To unpack every request?
It's...
Or not over SSL, though, right?
It's not doing SSL, I'm pretty sure. Because that would require a true POP proxy. And I think it's just doing a DNS redirect is all it's doing with the agent.
Okay. So again, I think we still need to get back to the POP. Well, go ahead.
And I checked out a product called Zorus that was out there that basically does that. Right?
Is your friend, well, not your friend, but you know, you're a fan of what the alumni has built.
Yeah. And, you know, I liked the proxy idea of that, but it was priced too high and I had some questionable security issues with it, and I was just didn't want to.
Are they made for the MSP channel?
I think so.
I have one word for you, three letters.
Oh, I thought you were going to say tip of spear.
No. I mean, you know, I saw something interesting just to go off topic a little bit. Huntress is over at RSAC this week, and Kyle, the CEO, I always believe he's the CEO, said it's nice to see the MSP community embracing enterprise events. And the only thing is, I think he's the only MSP leader there.
Okay. I was going to say, was he seeing a bunch of MSPs there?
No, the rest of them were firmly planted at IT Nation that's going on, or that ended today. So the reason I bring that up is the bane of my existence is I want to move everything to the enterprise space. I don't want to deal with much or any of the MSP space. There are a couple of vendors out there that are doing some good things, or I hope we'll be doing some good things. But I want to go back to data workplace and Microsoft sensitivity labels. What's the over-under on that happening, you think? Or do we need to wait a few months? Because today, it is great.
Yeah, I mean, I've expressed lots of concerns with Datto lately, and I was basically told in a roundabout fashion, I can tell you anything you want to hear till I'm blue in the face, but nothing's going to be final till after the sale, which is apparently end of this summer. They said 30 days after that, maybe I could start getting answers. But, you know, if some of the main players from Datto Workplace end up leaving Datto, that would have me really concerned.
That's an old technology, though. And not, I don't mean that in a bad way, but it started out with, has it had any real development recently? I know they just did a new generation of the agent that gets installed for the data.
Yeah, so they did move to a new agent that actually creates like a VM on the drive to keep the data protected and encrypted, right?
That's impressive.
They did that, and then it also allows you to see all of the files and folders, even though they're not downloaded, you know, like the OneDrive capabilities. Okay. The old agent didn't have that ability.
The one thing I like with the new release is it's auto-updating. Before, it was a pain in the ass to update those things. And you would have a list of stale devices that still showed up. I don't know if you had that problem, but that was the bane of my existence. What about CRMs? I don't know if you saw the article. I know we spoke about it briefly. About what about your data in a CRM? Especially a cloud hosted, like say Salesforce or any of the big providers. how can you control that data, or how do you think we should be able to control that data?
I mean, ideally, it'd be nice if it was end client encrypted, where you knew that the employees of Salesforce couldn't even see the data, right?
Yeah, but then how do they sell it on the secondary markets?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I would take above anything else? Because I know none of these SaaS providers will ever give up our data, because they monetize it 10 ways till Sunday. I mean, they may say they strip it down, but everything gets sold. I would like that when I leave a vendor and that relationship ends, I can have all of the data I brought over purged. That's the one thing I would love, because I don't want to deal with a data breach of a vendor 2 years after I stopped using them.
Do you know what it's going to take for that, right?
An act of God.
Blockchain. You could revoke access. That's that easy.
You're not wrong. For a second, I thought you were going to try to sell me an NFT.
No.
Of that Datto. Oh, it's a Datto again behind you?
It is. I had a call with Tim Weller, and he saw it, and I think I hurt his feelings a little bit. But yeah, I used to have a Kaseya logo right here.
It's okay.
And
once the acquisition, Fred will send you a label for that.
He asked me the question. He's like, well, what does that mean? And I'm like, what does it have to mean? Like, I'm accepting the fact that Datto is now Kaseya. I think he was thinking I was trying to take it a little further but the poor guy, you could tell he's just getting beat up left and right with everyone upset over the news. You know,
it's hard, man. I mean, you've got Datto was a really liked vendor in the channel. I think they were probably the most partner friendly one. And now soon they will be Kaseya. I think I've beaten up on Kaseya enough where I don't need to speak ill of them, at least on this episode too.
What it opened me up to was tech debt. I'm like, I don't want to have any of my data in anything with tech debt. I don't want my clients to have tech debt. And with all these companies swallowing up each other, they're not doing that to get rid of tech debt. And if anything, they're going to spend less money getting rid of tech debt.
So how are you going to deal with that? If you leave a vendor because of their tech debt, how are you going to deal with getting your data out? And I ask you this because if you can figure it out, it saves me a few brain cells.
So it was a 6-month process with IT Glue, and still all I got for confirmations were screenshots of like back end database commands or whatever they pulled up that, you know, they had to do to delete my data. But you're right. It's not something that the vendors really have a process for, I don't think, where it's like, hey, when this person leaves, we purge all their data, right?
With IT Glue, I asked them why they don't delete the data. And their reply was, we want to make it really easy for you to come back. And this was, I asked this question maybe two, maybe 3 years ago to them. So their answer may have changed for legal or other reasons, but
for security reasons.
Yeah, this is the MSP space, man. Come on. We're talking about security. We don't actually practice security with MSP vendors. You know this. Come on.
Could you imagine if I parted ways with a client and said, here's all your passwords, but by the way, I'm going to hang on to a copy of all of them just in case you decide to come back, so it'll be easier for you to come back, right?
Exactly. Your client would be like, delete our shit. Like, here's the thing, right? I think everyone operates with a contract. So your contract should spell out, okay, certain types of data will be kept for X amount of time after the relationship ends, which, you know, for whatever reason, like maybe that's your ticketing, right? But passwords, access, if you have a new provider, get rid of it. Give it to somebody else. Not your problem anymore.
Well, and it's almost a liability hanging on to that too, right?
I would not even say almost.
Well, all right, fair enough. I mean, let's say you've got, you know, 5,000 partners, current active partners, but your database has 10,000 partners because half of them are inactive and you never got rid of their data. And then all of a sudden your database gets breached. Well, now you've got to worry about 10,000 partners data getting out instead of just the 5,000 if you would have kept things cleaned up, right?
Imagine having to go to that partner you no longer do business with, and now they have to go to their client. That's a whole chain of events that no one should have to deal with. And I would like to see vendors put retention policies on these SaaS applications. But again, I think The reason they will not do it is because it goes back to their ability to monetize data.
Yeah. And the minute you put your data in their system, they technically own it.
Yeah.
And the only way to get around that is with blockchain, because you could grant, you could essentially have all that data part of a blockchain that they're part of that they end up getting revoked from, right? And then that data just disappears at that point. Okay. There's got to be infrastructure to support all that.
That's the essence of DLP, right? Blockchain is just a much fancier term for it. You're giving people access to something, and when they no longer need it or you no longer want them to have it, you pull the access. Only problem is, as I said earlier, I don't think there are any DLP solutions that are even 80% of the way there. Anything else?
No, man. This is a good talk. I mean, what else can we scare people with and help them not sleep at night?
Oh, I got an idea. If you are, what's the middle of the country? What state would that be?
My brain's not working right
okay.
now.
Okay. So if you are west of the middle of the country, west of the middle of the country, and you are not managed or VAM'd by Brian Weiss and iTech Solutions, you should not sleep at night because you are probably fucked.
And so that'd be what? Colorado, west of the Colorado, Wyoming. I pulled the map out because I just couldn't leave us hanging there.
I don't know, man. Geography is not my strong suit, but I would say consider what we said here and try to figure out where your data is, what tools you're using, what tools your employees are using. And I think the tools your employees are using are just as important, especially if you don't know about them.
Yeah, I would say stop storing passwords in the same system that you store all your documentation in too. There's still a ton of people doing that. That's a single system that could be breached that gives the keys to the kingdom and the blueprints.
Let me ask you a question. Who are the only people that are doing
the average MSP?
It's only MSPs. Like internal IT probably doesn't do because they don't have access to IT glue. They're still using post-it notes on the monitor, which are probably more secure at that point.
I'll tell you, sad enough, I've had some recent VAM clients that have signed up for IT glue and they're using it for passwords. Internal IT departments, I told them not to. They said, but it's so convenient. And I said, well, security, convenience.
I mean, there's so many good password managers out there. And off the top of my head, Keeper Security, you know, both Brian and I resell it. So greatest thing ever. 1Password was fantastic when I used it. LastPass is a pretty good product. There's enough good stuff out there. Don't use Mikey. Somebody bought Mikey and they shut it down, didn't they? That was a great investment at that.
What else do we have here? How about who can see your data? Can your vendors see your data? And do you care about that?
Let me go grab a case of beer because this is my hill to die on. Is that a White Claw?
No, this is a Bang.
Oh, okay.
It's only 4:12 here, so.
It's 5:00 somewhere, man. So how many vendors have you dealt with? And I think you're a lot like me. We're very similar in this aspect. When our company or your company is looking for a new product, you're the one doing the testing, right? How many times have you gone to products or companies and they said, hey, we are zero trust. And then you start asking them about security and they're like, yeah, don't worry about it. This is how we do it. You ask them to prove it. And they're like, no, don't worry. Trust us. How does that work for zero trust?
Well, it is. I will say that they weren't lying in the fact that I quickly developed zero trust for them.
Okay. I didn't see it that way, but good call. Okay.
No, I caught a vendor. I'm not going to name names.
Name and shame here. It's okay.
Well, they have since fixed it, apparently. So I don't want to make it sound like it's.
Okay. What type of product?
Documentation.
IT glue what?
Okay. So yeah, I'm working with them importing some data. I'm having trouble with imports, working with support. And all of a sudden, one of the imports worked. And before I had a chance to tell them that it worked, they told me. And I go, So I use that as an opportunity to say, okay, I wonder what they can see on their end. I said, okay, how can you tell me? Like, I'm still not seeing anything on my end. I played dumb, right? Can you point to like a specific record that I know should be there and tell me what you see? And sure enough, they pulled it up. I go, so you can see the data in IT. Oh, oh yeah. And then he started backpedaling, only like certain support calls and this and that and this. And then that's when I decided to part ways with them.
Dude, you cannot undrill that hole. Like, it's once they let you know that they can see it, it, but the sad part in that for that vendor, and again, I don't want to beat up on them. It was a good product. It was groundbreaking in its time when it came out. You got a couple other platforms that are probably doing as good, if not a better job. But the IT Glue, certain IT Glue or Kaseya staff can see your passwords that you store in that. Mm-hmm. Why is anyone using a password manager that the vendor can see your passwords, your TOTP, your everything? Why?
Probably because they trust the vendor's security. I don't know. I mean, I look at it as now I have to treat all of their employees like my employees, right?
Except I've almost zero control over their employees.
Exactly.
So it's fantastic. What happens if they get popped again? You know, this time on IT Glue, how many companies are going to be vulnerable?
I mean, in my opinion, IT Glue is like prime for threat actor group. I mean, you want to talk target nation state, they get a hold of IT Glue data. They've got keys to how many kingdoms, right? You talk about hitting an MSP and then having multiple clients that you have access to. How about hitting IT Glue, having multiple MSPs and then multiple clients?
For legal purposes, we're not telling anyone to hit IT Glue. We're just saying it would be really bad if someone did.
If I was IT Glue, I would be spending oodles of money on cybersecurity. I'd be having bug bounty programs. I'd be making sure I'd be implementing zero trust, zero knowledge, so I knew that I didn't have any insider threats from employees, right?
But, you know, the problem is that all these MSP vendors and most vendors, I mean, even the enterprise, they don't want to embrace that zero knowledge thing. That's why they call it zero trust. If you realize none of these people speak about...
That's fair. That's fair.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know, when I do calls with you and a vendor, if I do calls with Eric and a vendor, or me, you and Eric on a vendor, one of the first questions is, hey guys, how much access to our data do you have?
And Keeper says zero knowledge.
They are zero knowledge and zero trust. They are FIPS certified and they are either in process or they are FedRAMPed. So I have a little more faith in them, but Keeper was born for the enterprise. They weren't born for the MSP. They have a significant MSP business now, but...
But you know what's funny about that? Let's get back to tech debt. What makes Keeper so special they are able to get FedRAMP or FIPS and all this stuff? It has nothing to do with the talent they have on their team. It's the framework. It's the framework and how they built their product ahead of time so that it didn't have all this tech debt that prevented it from being able to be FedRAMP, right? Think if Keeper had a ton of tech debt where it couldn't be FedRAMP, the answer back would be, sorry, we aren't getting FedRAMP. Just no, like all these other MSPs.
They would just have to have an entire code rewrite.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the issue I have with these MSP vendors. It's like eventually we aren't even going to be able to use your tools with our clients.
Well, how long
because of all your tech debt.
How long are they going to keep patching patches of patches on 30-year-old software or 20-year-old software? You know, you look at secure framework programming now, it's very different to what it was 5 years ago, much less 10, 15, 20 years ago. So, but it goes back to, you know, what you and I talk about all the time is there is going to come a time where Microsoft will rule the roost for the enterprise and the SMB. And third-party vendors, and, you know, I want to bring this back to your data workplace thing. Third-party vendors will need to really begin integrating with the entire suite of 365, not just email, not just calendar, and, you know, the basic stuff or files. Like, Data Workplace needs to, within 2 years, get to a point where they can absorb the sensitivity label settings from 365 and use that agent to apply requisite label.
How about stop building out reporting and dashboards and all of your programs and just integrate with Power BI? Just give me some Power BI plugins.
Fuck that, man. Let's just use Crystal Reports. It works. Why change anything if that's how you've always been, right? I mean.
Yeah. No, definitely tighter integration. I don't know. I'm at the point I've changed so many damn tools that I don't want to change tools anymore. So I'm trying to figure out like, what can I put in place now, even if there's a little suffering because it's not quite ready yet, that I know isn't going to develop so much tech debt that I want to going to want to leave it in 3 to 5 years.
There's one tool I think you should change, and it has to do with Microsoft Dynamics. You can talk about it if you want. I just don't want to put it out there for you unless you want to put it out.
The PSA Autotest. Yes.
You should move off of Autotest PSA, because while it is a fantastic product in its own right, it's old as shit. There's a lot better out there. And that Dynamics driven platform that you're looking at seems pretty cool. It's expensive, but you got to pay to play.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dynamics is a platform that's going to be further developed out by Microsoft. And right. I mean,
listen, I remember installing Great Plains back in 2002 at clients, and Great Plains is the precursor to what is now Dynamics. So yeah. I've seen that evolution of that product. And I remember back in 2002, it was amazing that there was a plugin to do currency conversions to 82 or 83 different currencies back then. Now, you know, go online, you can do it, but it's a solid platform. And if you are embracing that Microsoft lifestyle, you need something that will integrate natively with 365. And at least then you'd really be able to know where your data is.
Yeah. All right. You think we've bored people long enough?
No, it's the greatest fucking podcast ever. What are you talking about? Number one cybersecurity podcast in the galaxy.
That's right.
Anything else you want? Anything you want to close out with for the people? Let them know how to get in touch with you. How to get VAMMed.
I am. Yeah.
Get VAMMed by iTech Solutions.
Look us up online, iTech Solutions. I'm on that old school Facebook too. Also LinkedIn, Brian J. Weiss. Just search for me. You'll find me.
And it's itech-solutions.com, correct?
Correct. That is correct. We are not the staffing company up in Canada that I always get a ton of mail.
You got to make an offer for that domain, man. Alrighty. Thank you all.